You're also listening to Bathrob Spears Broadsides, coming up next on Free Radio with special guest, refugee and prisoner of war at large, Clive Boustrade. Stay tuned. Is where your radio dial is, 101.1 FM. Welcome to Bathrob Spears Broadsides. You're listening to Santa Cruz Voices. I'm in the studio with Liberty for Life activist Clive Boustrade, who's puttering around on his laptop. It's Laptops City here on the rather scarred desktop of the worn Free Radio Santa Cruz studios. You're welcome to be with us today. I don't know if you're listening on your radios at home or on your computers or in your cars or on your bikes or who knows, maybe I don't know the heck where you are. But if you can get access to some kind of phone you want to call in, please do. The number here is easy to remember. It's 427-3772, FRSC, which of course stands for Freak or Free Radio Santa Cruz, 427-3772. I'm going to keep an eye on the phone line. I even have an ear on it because I've turned up the sound. So those of you who didn't get in on Sunday because somebody left the phone on busy and somebody wasn't watching the phone, half the time that somebody was me, hopefully that will not repeat itself in the next 2 hours during this show. I had hoped to get a report from San Francisco's Jennifer Friedenbach of the Coalition on Homelessness, and that still might happen, but I am not going to be counting on it. She's really a busy mom as well as a busy legal worker up there with the Coalition fighting the latest round of attacks on homeless people by Mayor Gruesom Gavin Newsom up there, the toothy, smooth-tongued boy who is running pretty much unopposed except for a variety of underfunded and peripheral candidates, at least as far as the mainstream or even on the lefty media goes. So she may not be calling in. I also may not likely to get a call, but might get a call from attorney Bedrock Beauvais, David Beauvais of Berkeley, who is one of the two lead attorneys in the sleeping ban lawsuit, the lawsuit to overturn the Santa Cruz City sleeping ordinance, which criminalizes people who sleep outside or in their vehicles after 11 o'clock at night. Municipal Code 6.36010A is the offending code section. We've talked about it endlessly on this program. People slept out at City Hall night after night, violating it. After all, people do have to sleep at night in spite of the dictates of our overlord masters on the City Council and in the Police Department and in the City Attorney's Office. And the interesting thing is that, as I've said time and time again, the Jones decision did come down in Los Angeles from the Ninth Circuit Court of Appeals. The federal judges there, I don't think too much of federal judges or state judges, and I know my guest in the studio thinks even less. But they stated it's not constitutional. It violates the Eighth Amendment to arrest people at night for sleeping when you have no legal place for them to go. And accordingly, Los Angeles PD, rather notorious police department, has changed its policy of arresting people in the Skid Row area at night. They have to leave them alone until 6 o'clock in the morning when they begin arresting them at 6:01, or else they go after them under different code sections, you know, like having the wrong color shirt on, or maybe they look like they might have been smoking marijuana, or possibly there's a beer bottle nearby. That's a more legitimate reason to go after someone who's homeless. After all, we know that adults aren't allowed to engage in using intoxicants unless they have the luxury of a home. That's also true in Santa Cruz. But there is no arrest of people for sleeping in Los Angeles. San Diego followed suit, settled its own lawsuit against the homeless in the Spencer decision this spring, and the Richmond City Council voted, as I've mentioned probably at least a dozen times on the air, to change their law so that it is no longer criminal to sleep at night if you have no legal place to go. In fact, Fresno, which was going to put through a camping ordinance, and I've been kind of following that through activist Mike Rhodes, who's been on this show defending the rights of folks, and his great success with the Kincaid decision involving Pam Kincaid, the late Pam Kincaid, I'm sorry to say, and a number of other homeless people in Fresno who got a federal judge to rule you can't seize homeless property and destroy it, even though Ranger Wallace here in Santa Cruz, Chief Ranger Wallace, says you can because it's too much trouble to store it. Ranger Wallace in Santa Cruz has told me, 2 days ago he told me, that if we find property, we will post it, and within a week or two, we'll destroy it unless your campsite are gone. It could be sooner than that, which is, of course, a violation of the federal constitution, according to the judge in Fresno who enforced the Kincaid decision. Now, so we've got a number of behaviors by local bureaucrats and enforcement officers, which seems to be explicitly unconstitutional based upon the rulings of guys, and they are mostly men, they are all men in this case, in black robes who supposedly have the power to send you to jail, even to kill you, if it's capital punishment and that sort of thing. But our city council knows better. Our city attorney, John Barisone, is above all that. And, of course, our city manager, Dick Wilson, city manager for life, runs his own shop here in Santa Cruz. So I'm going to be talking about the same old things here, and we're going to be encouraging you to talk about these things and also eventually to spread the word so we can find new forms of resistance to unjust laws and policies by the police departments, the city attorney office, the district attorney, and also simply ways to expose what is going on so people who somehow have the illusion that we are a progressive community here in Santa Cruz are alerted to the fact that, no, it just ain't so. Again, the call-in number is 427-3772. And I think what I'm going to do is play a little music here very briefly. I do have a guest in the studio, and I have a bad habit of letting guests sit around for hours while I rant on at length. And I've been criticized by colleagues in the business telling me, pay attention to the damn guests. I mean, they came into the studio. They waited outside in the fog and the cold. Why don't I, give them a little slack here? Well, okay, I think I'm going to have to introduce my guest at least. You, sir, what exactly is your name anyway?
Well, it's good to be back on the show again, Robert. And I refer to the robes they wear as black nighties. I think it's much more appropriate those people who sit in that form, which looks a little bit like a Protestant church where they have the pulpit up front. But one of the things I've enjoyed watching there, by the way, my name is Clive. I run a website called Liberty for Life, another one called Copper Cards, and I was building a next-gen internet company before the cops locally here tried to blow my head off in front of my kids, and then the district attorney started filing malicious prosecution against me, repeatedly threw me in jail, which opened my eyes to what many of the people on the street are already aware of.
And in fact, we've actually gotten a couple of shows. I believe if you Google on the Huff website, huffsantacruz.org, for Clive, C-L-I-V-E, you will find some earlier shows which describe in some detail your interesting experiences with sheriffs pursuing you at high speeds. They called it a high speed.
Up 27 miles per
27
hour.
27 miles per hour. They call that a high speed up your private road and confronting you and your children with less than lethal weapons, as they like to term them. Anyway, we have a caller. Let's see who is intruding on our introduction in this fashion. Hi, you're on Free Radio with Clive and Robert.
Hi, Robert. What kind of company is he building?
Oh, I was building a company. You can see the website's still there. It's called Infotelesis, Infotelesys. We were building a satellite-based network which was producing many things, and innocently we were putting banking systems on satellites, building next-gen education systems. And we're not sure if the sheriffs here tried to shoot at me because of the technology we're building or because of my ex-wife who made a false police call.
Wow, one false police call. What the hell is that? They're all over this town.
They're a bit crazy.
They got the phone down at the beach. It's tapped.
Your evidence, Madison, oh paranoid woman?
Well, when you call it back, it goes...
That's
like
not
somebody's
evidence.
On that, there.
Maybe it's a simply defective phone. The payphones all over the city are disappearing.
Well, this carpenter was over here today who helped build the police station. They got a building downstairs with a bunch of Barca loungers in there and cameras that watch like all of the downtown and SoCal and water and other places.
Well, it's time to keep an eye on people like yourself, Madison. You never can tell what you're
going
to do next.
My mom built a bunch of educational satellites. She was head of finance at Ford Aero.
Well, let's talk about your mom some other time, shall
we? No, let's talk about this guy's aerospace education.
No, we're going to talk actually about local abuses of power, I think. That's the whole point. That's the reason that Clyde is on the
air. Well, go listen to the phone down there. There's one.
Oh, thank you. Yeah, no, actually, I've always assumed that, particularly one's home phone may or may not be tapped, particularly in these days of expanding federal interest and any Islamic interests we may have overseas. Yes. But, the fact of the matter is, I think we've got to proceed with our lives anyway, and I do until such time as it ends or gets otherwise truncated. And I encourage others to do the same. Be aware that your conversations may be listened to. Clive, I recently ran up against, I ran into you because you've been distributing, and you left a whole pile of these DVDs with a little of a nice graphic on the label of the DVD here in the Free Radio studio. And I got a call from Donna Dice, who has formed a new organization called Live, Living in Vehicles Excellently. She's a supporter of Homies for the Homeless, the group that had a sleep out at City Hall, and she actually provided a bathroom through her own vehicle when Mayor Riley apparently felt that poo-poo on the grass is a better solution than opening up the bathroom, so people can actually have a nighttime place to dispose of their victuals, used victuals, I should say. She was very impressed with your DVD. I guess I also spoke to Moo, who's a flautist who is occasionally downtown, usually quite a solo man, but he's been attending Huff meetings. For those who don't know, Huff is Homeless United for Friendship and Freedom, a group that is concerned with restoring civil rights for poor people in Santa Cruz. And again, you had me introduce at that meeting, which I did yesterday. We meet every Wednesday, 9:30 in the morning at the county building. Check us out. 9:30 to 11:30 in the morning, right outside the metal detector. You don't have to check your revolver before you come to the Huff meeting. Just don't flash it around and don't threaten or scare the natives, that sort of thing. People were interested in your proposal that you're giving what you cooked up, made up, pressed up 5,000 DVDs to distribute to a community. And this, of course, at least what I've seen of it, I've only seen the beginning of it, tell the story of, rather graphically, of your own incarceration, arrest, the police threatening you and your children in a misguided, at the best, attempt to punish you for on the behalf because of a domestic dispute that happened. And, of course, who knows who what
actually,
the...
Actually, the whole thing is no domestic disputes actually have been involved in these cases, interestingly.
Oh, restraining
although that's
orders,
something that they... So. No restraining orders, yet it was following the deputy sheriff running up to my car from about 5 to 7 feet shooting
right,
at
but the
me.
Reason they were originally following you had to do with a domestic dispute.
No, it was basically a false police call my ex-wife had made.
Right, a domestic dispute.
Correct, I suppose that could be it. Yeah, had one about 8 months earlier, interestingly, when she made a false police call, and she made the error that time of saying that I had disconnected the phone, and when I pointed out to the cops that it would be pretty hard to call them if I disconnected the phone, they understood that, went away, didn't do anything, and she was kicked out of the house then. And then
get into the details of this and the merits of
get
it,
into
I know
the
it's
DVD,
important.
Yeah.
What's important here is not so much the background to me, although, you know, certainly it's important to know whether you're a raging... spouse abuser or whatever, you know, but the real issue is how are the police responding when these kinds of issues come up? How are they treating the people who are in the middle of these disputes, whoever's right or wrong? And the fact is you were then charged with multiple felonies. You had to, because it sounds like the police made a significant mistake in drawing weapons on you and your children and following you up a private road and screwing up a call. And yet the district attorney charged you. And I'm aware this happens with some regularity. Let's put it this way. It's not a unique occurrence. Bob Lee has done this to other people. I think it was Lee who did prosecute
now,
you, right?
Now, yes. Now, I also prosecuted Bob Lee. I sued Bob Lee.
You attempted to prosecute
him. Well, no. I prosecuted him. Oh, no. I filed suit against him in federal court. We had a year and a half of hearings. And get this. I would imagine that a district attorney is aware that if you don't make an appearance in a case, you go to jail or you're found
Wait
guilty.
Wait a minute. Sovereign immunity, my boy.
You mean under the 11th, which precludes judicial power? There's no such thing as sovereign immunity.
Well, tell it to the courts, my man.
Well, that's what we did, and we filed the case against them in a year and a half of hearings. Not one of the state defendants, including our sheriff here and many cops and many judges here.
Sheriff Bob Robbins?
No, that was Mark Tracy. Okay. Mark Tracy, of course, ran away when he was caught red-handed sending a deputy to threaten someone else.
Richard Quigley.
That's
yes,
correct.
At the KSCO
Kate
station.
Took him down to the federal court. Was he prosecuted for that, Robert?
I think the sheriff actually retired on a rather fat pension, and he's getting actually double salary on that whole
Well,
thing.
He owes me all that he's earning because we sued him. Our companies, of course, that we were building were worth
gets,
a significant
when
amount.
When you get your money, I expect a really fancy dinner from you.
we'll take care of you, Robert, and many other people who are homeless. And that's what community should be about, I believe, as well. But our DVD is it's a first chapter of a series, and we're making these DVDs mostly to educate people about what's going on in the government. This chapter I would rather skip, but I've been forced to produce this chapter because the courts are just continuing to refuse to give us any even the slightest element of justice.
This is your own personal story.
Yes, it's my dirty laundry going on the air, basically.
Your criminal record, in other words.
Well, no, this one's actually my divorce case. They're refusing to allow me to get divorced. This has been going for more than 5 years, my last hearing.
I
called
use a more Native American approach to this, or maybe an Islamic or Jewish approach.
You mean like O.J. Simpson?
Well, no, that's not. I think that's a somewhat more extreme approach.
Right.
I'm thinking more rather, you know, three times say, on thy way, partner.
And well, I did that.
But
they won't let me get her off the title to my home. She owes me money, and they leave me on the title.
So it's money and property, the story
they
of the
give me the legal divorce, but not the financial one.
We have a caller. Perhaps your wife is calling in to give you
an
opportunity to do this divorce. Hi, you're on Free Radio.
Hi, you went off.
Madison, it's call number two. Now, I want to warn you before
I want to warn you before we proceed
that I'm going to give you three phone calls in. After that, I'm going to be very, very strict about it, so don't be surprised. Go ahead.
Collecting people for a class action lawsuit for excessive force.
Sorry, say that again?
The attorney Marin, M-E-R-I-N, in Sacramento is collecting people for a class action lawsuit regarding excessive force.
Around what issue?
Oh, you're back on the air.
Around what issue? I hope you're not trying to listen to this on the air. Hang on, Madison. Don't try to listen to this at the same time because you will get a feedback. And can you clarify for me exactly, you know, what you're talking about? Go ahead.
There's an attorney named Marin, M-E-R-I-N, out of Sacramento, and he's won several excessive force lawsuits against the sheriff and miscellaneous enforcement agencies in the state, and he's collecting people for a class action lawsuit.
That's useful information.
Marin, M-E-R-I-N, he's out of Sacramento. You can call 411, he's enlisted.
Well, thanks, Madison. Go ahead.
Santa Cruz, okay. I mean, it's too bad, but...
It's interesting though when you say that. I don't know. Certainly that there are a lot of attorneys who are pursuing actions and not necessarily class actions, but actions against deputies and officers who've overstepped their bounds. I don't know
he's collecting information regarding a lawsuit. And he won in Alameda several million dollars.
There's an interesting element regarding a class action lawsuit. If you know anything about some of the history of lawsuits, our only amendment ever to be overturned is the Prohibition Amendment. And the reason that was overturned was because the government was hit with 70,000 lawsuits. Now, a class action lawsuit actually makes it pretty easy for the government to handle many people at once. I would encourage anyone who has been assaulted by the government to file suit themselves. You can go down to federal court and you can prepare paperwork yourself, and it costs you $375 to file a suit. And I would encourage a massive barrage of lawsuits against these criminals who are wearing badges and who are assaulting us in the public.
Right. Well, I want all you homeless people to whip out there with your $375
and
do it.
I mean, let me ask this guy, sir, do you feel like the intellectuals and the people in Santa Cruz are being targeted at this point in history?
What I will say, and I've studied this a great deal, if you look at our Liberty for Life website, that's libertylibertyforlife.com, we've gone into significant detail with respect to historically what's going on, tracing back to particularly events such as 1913, the Federal Reserve Bank. And you can see historically what's happened in the nation since that time, and essentially the taking over of power by the Federal Reserve Bank of our government and everything else around the world. And we can link those things together. I don't think Robert wants to get into that in this radio program. But
what I'm asking is individually, the people you know in Santa Cruz, I feel like I left here in the 80s and I got back, and what I see is a huge outpouring and a push war on the left in spades. Tenfold what happened at Cal in the 60s. And I believe that people in Santa Cruz, intellectuals, hippies, creative, whatever, are being targeted.
I think we haven't seen anything yet. I think we're going to see an absolute increase in that.
Every single person I talk to has been bothered by the cops. Everybody.
Now, you're familiar with the Military Commissions Act. You're familiar with all the concentration camps they built across the country. You're familiar with the Army regulations turning the military bases into civilian intern camps. This is Nazi Germany being implemented in the United States, and it's shocking. And
that's why I'm talking about, and everyone's saying to you, what are you talking about? Excuse me. I've lived in 40 cities, and I've never been anywhere where everybody was bothered by the cops.
And every corner, as a cop. I've lived around the world as well, and I have never seen as high a density population of police in any other environment. And I've lived in some places that are violent.
Crazy. In Mountain View, Los Altos, like when it was a little farm town, there were like 30,000 and 30,000. The city shared six cops. Now there are 600 in the city of Los Altos alone.
What you have to understand is that the people who are seeking to control the world have invested a significant amount of money in the United States military. They want to use the United States military to invade other nations and control the world. To do that, they have to control the population in the United States. To do that, you need a police state, and you need police on every corner.
And then they drift the mess on the kids. I called them up and said, what in the hell are you selling that crap?
Alex,
that's
Jones,
what the SS was on, and Hitler's SS was on meth. Oh, you're going to dump it on the kids, then you're going to draft them, and you'll have this fighting force that's insane.
Alex Jones had a very interesting program showing how they're actually going into schools and teaching the kids how to rat on their parents and how to arrest people and so on. We do need to be cognizant of what's going on. All of our sources on Liberty for Life come from government sources. They come from reputable or irreputable companies like Halliburton, who shows that they are actually building concentration camps across the nation.
Yeah, that came out of UC Santa Cruz in the 80s, that prison paper. That was huge. Way back, and they're still on it, you know?
It's
still
going.
Thank God for us. No wonder we're being targeted.
It's still advancing forward, yeah.
And then Jerry Brown sued the military for the sound waves on the ocean, so we had one August here where we weren't, they've been pounding the city with sound waves for four years.
They've just removed the injunction against the sound waves in the ocean.
I know. I think they should kick it up to a higher court. Because if it damages 460 parts of whales that have melons, what does it do to humans?
All right, now that's enough dolphin loving here on the show. Anyway, Madison,
I'm going to go. I want to hear this brilliant man. Thanks,
Robert. Thank you
for
the call, yeah.
Thanks, Madison.
And again, I think there's some broader issues, and I often get into the relation between the criminal occupation of Iraq, the proposed and imminent bombing in Iran, which we hope it's not imminent, and actually, a lot of people have thought it was imminent for the last 2 years. Ellsberg was warning about it a year and a half ago, and it hasn't happened yet, which is all very nice. But the provocations are mounting up, and the forces are in the Persian Gulf, and it looks like Pelosi has removed from the bill that was present in the spring the prohibition from attacking Iran. And we have, I think, a very serious situation. At the same time, a massive cover operation by the Bush administration to using General Petraeus, kind of a bogus, rather meaningless dispute between Generals Pace and Petraeus on whether you want to withdraw a few troops or increase by a few troops, but essentially leave the occupation force in place in Iraq. Although, of course, the Democrats have the same approach. The Democrats
we do need to focus. The invasion of Iran is no different than Hitler's invasion of Poland. We need to get our troops the heck out of there. We have no right whatsoever to invade
Iraq,
other nations.
Yes.
Iraq, Iran, any other nation. We don't have a right to build nations.
Now, wait a minute. We have 747, at least, military bases around the
and
world,
we have no
which
right
protect
to do that.
American freedom and the freedom of the world.
They're the reason we have terrorists.
Again, you're turning the whole thing upside down. I've got to tell you, Clive, that you're obviously yourself either confused or yourself perhaps. Are you an imam of some kind?
Well, the one thing is we've tried to understand what's going on. Interestingly, Robert, as you know, I was born in South Africa and apartheid, mm-hmm. and had a wonderful experience of being drafted into the military there to fight terrorists. And we learned a couple of things about terrorism in South Africa. Terrorism is not caused necessarily by bad people. It's caused by bad policy. The only way you can actually get rid of terrorism is to address the underlying root causes of the bad policy, not by going and bombing people. That generally builds more terrorists.
You're not attacking President Clinton's anti-terrorist policies, are you?
Absolutely. Okay. Clinton, of course, it's interesting and I need to say this for Democrats. I'm opposed to both Democrats and Republicans. Democrats quickly accuse Bush and so on, but what they need to recognize with Clinton is that we mustn't lose sight of the Iran-Contra affair. The drugs that were being flown into the United States by Bush and the other CIA drug
rings
were, of course, going into Arkansas, who was governor of Arkansas. Absolutely in the loop. Clinton's in the loop with the CIA and the drug smuggling. And, of course, our biggest drug dealing group in the world is the CIA themselves.
Well, you know, you've got to give the CIA a little rope, and we'll see who they hang. Fortunately, they don't usually hang themselves, or if they do, they're already so well hung, it doesn't matter. You're tuned to Free Radio, 101.1 FM and freakradio.org. As I make these rather insipid jokes, perhaps you can add a little quality to the discussion. 427-3772. My guest today, Clive Bustrade, who is a Liberty for Life website manager, also does coppercards.org. Is that right?
That's correct. Your copper cards we're launching. It's teaching you how to copper copper with your copper card. In other words, teaching you how to handle the tricks they pull
not
against
copper
you.
Copper the metal, but copper the as official, the gunman.
Well, no, actually, we use that as a couple of things. The cop as in copper, and then also as copper as the regular person's coin.
Right, although the copper doesn't seem to be, you don't find much copper. There's a lot of zinc, but not much copper in
zinc,
the pennies.
Yeah, it's a little bit expensive copper, too.
So I'm going to kind of start rolling through some of my traditional stuff, and we're going to kind of link it up to what you're doing. If any time you get bored, Clive, you can always, you know, head for the door, assuming they'll let you get out of the building. We might have a few deputies waiting for you.
Well, no, I would love to meet some deputies because we have a verified criminal complaint out for some criminals in this town, and we expect them to go out and arrest them.
I see. And, of course, that hasn't happened yet.
We expect that to happen, shouldn't we?
You're a man of high expectations.
Is there any? Do we have unequal justice in this nation, Robert?
Oh, come! I would let's not take a negative view towards our justice system. I know that tomorrow night there's going to be a 9/11 event. 9/11, of course, is Tuesday. That's coming right up, September 11th. You know, the date when the act of the planes going into the buildings produced the pretext for the massive
of Marvin Bush's explosives going off
right,
in the buildings.
Invasions.
Yeah.
Well, of course, there are those who claim that, and I know that there are some real questions about that. What's happening tomorrow night at the Veterans Hall in that regard?
We have Terror Storm, which is a wonderful movie. It's a must-see by any American, and I would say there are a couple of movies you do need to see. You need to see one of the many 9/11 movies like 9/11 Mysteries. Terror Storm is another absolute must-see. Freedom to Fashion are those three movies, I would say. If you haven't seen them, you need to get out there and see them. So come down to the Rio Theater on September 11th, and watch our movie there. I believe it starts at 7. If you check our website, right at the bottom of the front page, it has a start time on that.
Right, but my question is, what's happening tomorrow, Friday? Aren't you doing some kind of an event at the Veterans Hall? Isn't there some sort of a... I thought there was a 9/11 event. Okay, I'm going to have...
That could be. Now, we got a few groups in town here.
I believe there is actually... I know if you go on indiebay.org, you'll see some debate between people who claim that the... You know, there's people who urge a complete strike on 9/11 to get to stop business as usual so that we can get out of Iraq and, impeach Bush and Cheney and get to the bottom, eliminate the repressive law, unconstitutional laws that now litter the landscape. And, of course, the problem with these calls, and I think they're right on, is that, there's a lot of dissension between people who are calling them, some people calling others nutcases, other people saying, you know, that the real issue has to be this or that. If you don't believe that there's something wrong with, you know, that building number 7 improperly collapsed and so forth, through planned explosions, then you know you're not part of the movement.
Well, you have to be a lunatic to suggest that one of the most robust buildings in New York City, the building that housed both the FBI and the CIA, including New York's emergency multi-million-dollar emergency response center, was not robust enough, as all the other buildings were around the World Trade Center.
Well,
to
what
stand
I'm saying
up.
is that regardless of the substance of this issue, just as we talk about the substance of how evil the Federal Reserve System is or how instrumental it is in creating problems and empowering folks who shouldn't be empowered, the issue seems to me to be how do we get together a broad coalition to deal with a variety. The real issue to me that I'm focused on is right now is the war in Iraq and the proposed expansion of the war into Iran and also, of course, the general militarization of American society and the criminalization of poor people in Santa Cruz. So in Santa Cruz, for instance, we have what we call the vigil against two wars, the war on the poor and the war on the poor Iraqis, which, you know, is linked closer than you might think. I mean, it's not that I have a lot of contacts with homeless Iraqis, and there are like 4 million of them who have been created by the U.S. invasion and the civil war that's happening in Iraq.
No, that's not a civil war. That's just a war that's being caused by America. What we do need, and I think you're absolutely right, Robert, we need to look to solutions in fixing the problem. when there are many, our constitution, of course, is a wonderful constitution. It precludes, for example, funding of the military for more than 2 years. They ignore that. They're ignoring everything such as a Ninth Amendment, which means our rights don't diminish, so the Patriot Act is completely voided by the Ninth Amendment. They're ignoring elements of the constitution from the First Amendment all the way to the end. What we need to figure out is a way to fix the problem, and I believe it starts off in our local towns, and I believe it starts off with cleaning out our local judiciary, our local sheriff, our local district attorney, and forcing them to follow the law. If we can do it in our local town, it can spread to other towns. The proper procedure to indict officials who are committing crimes is through the grand jury. Now, we need to educate people about what the grand jury is. We have a little grand jury that the DA sort of organizes and has a little cubicle office down in the county building, but they only address issues which relate to civil matters. A grand jury is something that we the people form. Anyone can form a grand jury. You just need to randomly select 24 people from the public, and this is not something that the government organizes. It's something that we the people organize. It's not presided over by any judicial process, any judicial officer. It's not presided over by the district attorney or the sheriffs. That jury then forms, they analyze their data, and they issue indictments. In fact, the Constitution dictates that the only way you can really arrest someone is on the indictment of a grand jury.
Well, Clive, this is all very well, but have you recently formed any grand juries? I know you've been involved with the Liberty for Life movement for at least a year.
So Copper Cards, as of course, in the involvement that I am in Liberty for Life and Copper Cards, I'm spread too thin. So we need to bring people in now and use and deploy on our strategy.
So this is part of your master scheme to rope in the innocent through radio shows and DVDs.
To rope in the innocent and protect them, absolutely
right. Now, actually, I've been able to find it by going to the Vets Hall. Exactly what's happening tomorrow night is the Center for Enlightenment presents the 2007 Truth Movement, or as critics call it, the Truthy Movement. Rekindle your spirits, renew your hope in the Town Hall Community Celebration. Hear the testimony of experts and witnesses, including Reverend Matha Lamu and special guest speaker Gary Arnold, Peace Tribe Orchestra and other bands. And it's $10 at the door, but I don't know if they're going to turn people away. This is the Vets Hall tomorrow night. I know that Huff, Homeless United for Friendship and Freedom, has been invited to distribute literature at this event tomorrow. And I'm going to now start tooting my own horn, or should I say a horn for the cause that I'm really kind of focusing on, which is not people who have $375 take cases to federal court, or people who, you know, can afford to create DVDs and spread them all over the world, all over the city, as you're doing. I'm not saying that's a bad thing, but people have trouble finding a goddamn place to sleep tonight because they're afraid of getting a $97 citation from the police department of Santa Cruz in spite of the federal courts, which you are perhaps appropriately criticizing, or even, I would say, reviling, because you're pretty strong, calling these people criminals.
Yes, we're coming out straight out. And, of course, that we would be liable if we couldn't prove that. And, of course, we can't prove their criminal actions. And I would never call someone a criminal if we couldn't prove that. Well, but I think what's important to think about is, if you go back just to 1994, we were in an economic boom. Everyone was starting to get jobs. People were finding jobs left, right, and center. In fact, it was one of the largest revolutions we've seen economically in the world because of the growth of Internet. All of a sudden, we could do business around the world dynamically. And what happened? Our Federal Reserve Bank crashed the market. And we're all looking at this depression which we've entered into. Exactly the same depression that was caused, well, not quite the same depression that was caused, but we all do now know that the Great Depression was indeed caused by the Federal Reserve Bank.
Rather than go back to the 1994, the Great Depression, which I do occasionally talking about homeless civil rights issues, and I don't mind doing that, I'm going to talk about what's happening here in the next week in terms of events that are going down. Although I understand those who want to follow the historical record as you see it can perhaps do that best by going to www.libertyforlife.org, if I'm not mistaken.
No, we're .com, actually.
.com.
We do have the .org. We'd like that.
.com, yes. Okay, fair enough. And but we have some events coming up, which I invite we being those of us concerned with restoring kind of the more, pedestrian right to close your eyes at night somewhere legally. A group called Homies for the Homeless and the lawsuit to end the sleeping ban are kind of coalescing. Homies for the Homeless are homeless people who just got tired of all this stuff and started sleeping at City Hall and set up a safe zone for 6 nights and then were driven away in the mid-August. And Robbie read the smears in the Sentinel. Oh, they did this, they did that, feces on the walls, and, you know, sex in the dumpsters, and yak, yakety, yak. I've attempted to get some information on this from the police department and from our old police department minister of propaganda, Zach Friend, and that's his name, Friend, first name Zach. Nice guy, you know, if you talk to him. But he stopped returning my calls for some strange reason, and he also won't return emails. So I filed Public Records Act requests, which in theory they have to return and respond to in 10 days. But I'm getting some flack from Tricia Hewsome, who is the records director at the police department. What I asked for, and actually what I got pretty speedy response from, was, Tricia, can you please, you know, I would like to get to see all tickets that were given to people at City Hall in the week that the homeless protest went on, and also all calls for service in terms of the police reports. In other words, let's see, was there really a massive crime wave at City Hall as reported by Zach Friend and faithfully reported by Jennifer Squires in the Sunday Sentinel of August, I think it was 19th or thereabouts. And I was told this would cost me an undetermined amount, but if I put down $36, they'd start doing from there, and then after that they would tell me how much more I had to spend. Well, I wrote back to Tricia. I said, well, first of all, I went to the HUF meeting, Homeless United for Friendship and Freedom People, and the Human Rights Organization, which, by the way, meets on Saturday for all you stalwarts and want to come 2 o'clock to the Firefly and check us out. I mean, I'm sort of with that group as well. They're trying to end the sleeping ban. But I said, can we get some money? Do we want to pay these coppers for public records that should be available to the community free of charge? And they said, well, you know, let's find out what happened. So we agreed to pay them, and I called Tricia, actually went in there yesterday, and I said, you know, here's your money, you know, here's the extortion money for these public records that we shouldn't have to pay for, because I don't even want a copy of them, I just want to see them. I don't need to have a bunch of paper copies. You should have a public computer where the redacted records are available for the public to look at. You know, there shouldn't be this special procedure by which people have to pay huge amounts of money to look at the activities of our public guardians, who we pay with our taxpayer dollars and we suffer abuses of authority from with some regularity, particularly if you're poor, and even if you're not, as we've seen from a man of means like yourself. You know, you could be, you know, whooping it up in Russia, creating, you know, as a CEO, which you were. I believe you were employed over there, you know, creating companies. And
we were building companies all around the world. Yeah, we certainly don't come from the poor end of the scale.
You chose to do this because you suddenly saw the kind of abuse. You didn't see.
Oh,
this.
It's extraordinary.
I've literally
been shot at, had my children shot at in front of my kids, had my children kidnapped from me.
And then you saw the response of the courts, which was, you know, it's all your fault, right?
Up and down the court system,
just
the Supreme Court in
California,
federal court, and I can honestly say they're a bunch of filthy criminals. And one of the best statistics one can put forward for that is the Department of Justice. Own statistics, which show that by 2004, and it's worse now, we have more people in jail, prison, and probation in the United States than the rest of the world combined.
That's a nice graph.
That statistics alone should fire every politician, every policeman,
right,
and every judge in this nation.
I'm trying to keep me back on the track here, keep us both on the track of what I'm trying to talk about, because I know that we have some...
Well, these are the issues which interrelate with what's happening with guys on the homeless people on the street.
I'm talking about the U.S. prisons. I'd like... Yep. The minute you start doing a demonstration in front of the Santa Cruz jail and not just talk about abstractions like the prison system generally, I'll be a happy boy. And when you turn to issues that concern a lot of people in Santa Cruz and start throwing your own grand jury investigation, start doing something real, Clive, and you are doing something real. You're engaging in documenting what you feel to be the abuses and rather, I think, articulate and dramatic way with this DVD. But what I always say to people who talk about these issues broadly and want to start, you know, talking about verified complaints, fringes on the flag, and the Federal Reserve System is, let's see you defend the rights of specific people here in Santa Cruz who are poor in a particular situation. Let's see you in front of the jails with picket signs or with media documenting abuses right there.
Let's just do that. And that's what Copper Cards, we're building that company exactly for that. And let's give some advice on the air exactly for example, our arraignment card we're creating. Now, the arraignment card, what happens, and now there's a couple of things, despite the government-driven education in our nation, there are a couple of sentences that people can finish in this country. Innocent until?
Are you looking for the stereotype response?
Correct.
Innocent until proven wealthy.
No, well, actually, that's some other thing. But the most people on the street will respond innocent until proven guilty, and then they'll get a smirk on their face and say, but that isn't the case. Mm-hmm. But that is indeed the law. You are innocent until proven guilty, which means that they cannot arrest you and prosecute you and punish you until they've actually found out that you are guilty and proven properly in a proper procedure that you are guilty. So what they do is they arrest you. They shackle you, put you in orange clothes, and 3 days later they bring you before a person in a black nightie who stares down at you and says, "How do you plead?" And the lawyer sitting next to you, whether it's your own hired lawyer or a public pretender, will nudge you and encourage you to enter in a plea. Now, the secret is you do not do that. You need to know some of the keywords. The key word in that situation to stand before the judge and to say, "I am here by special appearance only." Now, basically what you're saying is, I don't accede to the jurisdiction of this court. I don't know what the heck you
this
people are doing here.
This is the citizen sovereignty argument, which we're not going to get into at great length,
very important for people to understand how... No, we're not talking about citizen sovereignty here. We're talking about due process. Now, we've used this, and many of our people are using this and getting their cases dropped. And
okay.
So this is some
okay, I want you to give me an example of one case in Santa Cruz that's happened in the last 6 months where this actually got
I've had seven cases filed against me, and I've been using these.
Okay, well, give me an example of one case where you said, I'm here by special appearance, and what the response was.
Usually they try to ignore that. The last hearing I had was, well, what do you mean by special appearance? And, of course, I answered, I don't accede to your jurisdiction. Now, what you want to do, Robert,
what
and this
was,
is...
What, wait a minute. I don't want the advice. I want the result. What was the response when you said that to the...
Case dismissed.
And what was the charge?
I had four misdemeanors filed against me against one of them. I've had seven cases.
What was the misdemeanor specifically in this case where it was dismissed?
I have to look up my books here.
You'd better get it together. That's all I can say.
We're actually putting these examples on the Copper Card site.
That's good, and you can get to the Copper Card site and get more details on it. I'm not saying we shouldn't
but
use
we
it.
But we should let them know how to follow the procedure.
I don't want... You can say whatever you want on this matter, but I want to focus on... frankly, until I see you're successful in doing this, as with a verified complaint stuff that I hear constantly people talk about and are never successful with in local Santa Cruz courts that I've seen.
Maybe. Because they haven't followed through. They haven't followed through and sued. Now, the whole thing, Robert, and the whole dependence is that
the problem is when we talk about it, people on the air don't know what we're talking about. And let me tell you that I would like to see... And I think a lot of people are interested in what you're saying, and they can get more details on this by going to...
coppercards.com. We've got
and we can even talk about this. But I want for my purposes, I want to see you tell me the specific case where the judge said, because of what you're saying, we're dismissing this case. I want to know what the charge was. I want to know who the judge was. I want the details of this, because frankly, while some of this may sound very good, You're often hanging poor people who come up and try to use these tactics and don't get anywhere.
Now I can give you a list, and then what you also want to do is clear with respect to the people who had these cases filed against them.
Right, but see, we're getting off what I'm trying to talk about, mm-hmm. which is that we have coming up in the next week a series of events that are going on, and one of them will be presumably tomorrow. You will be available Friday at this Veterans Hall. Are you going to the Veterans Hall event?
I'll be there, yeah.
You'll be there tabling. So if people want to talk to you about, maybe you can have an outlined approach of, you know, how to proceed with your suggested remedy of, you know, when you ask to plead, you say, you know, I'm here by special appearance. I don't recognize the jurisdiction of this court. And you can present this as a sort of a template for people to consider using.
We have that template. In fact, we have the template up on the web. You can use that. What we don't have on the web, which we will put on the web, is a simple two-pager explanation and teaching you how to respond to that. And what you're doing in these things, Robert, what the judges often will do is say, well, I will enter a plea for you.
Right.
Now, that judge is exceeding his jurisdiction in doing that. He's committing treason. He's opening himself up to lose everything he owns.
Oh, now treason is giving aid and comfort to an enemy of the United States. What enemy is he giving aid and comfort to? Let me read you what treason is.
Let me actually open up the last treason file I filed in the court.
Well, what is treason as defined by the Constitution?
Actually, it's U.S. Code Section 18. I'll get it for you now.
But I mean, no, doesn't the Constitution define? But anyway, what the situation is rather than get lost on this, frankly, to me, what is not necessarily, it's a sidetrack from what I'm trying to talk about. I don't mind it being discussed, but as I said, if somebody wants to go into the details with you, they can A, go onto the website, and B, they can go to, they can meet you tomorrow at this, presumably, I'm hoping that the, what is it called, the Truth Movement tomorrow at the Vets Hall will be open. If you want to get Huff literature and find out what we're doing, what's the latest and in terms of Vice Mayor Coonerty and Mayor Riley and what they're up to.
Let me just read it very quick. This is only two sentences. 18 U.S.C. Section 1, quote, whenever a judge acts where he or she does not have jurisdiction to act, the judge is engaged in act or acts of treason, end quote. So that's 18 U.S.C. Section 1.
That's the law. That's not the Constitution.
That is the law. Yeah.
Treason, well, however, according to the definition by the Constitution, is levying war against the United States. So, giving aid and comfort to the enemies who are doing that. So,
and also in this case, treason.
I understand the definition of treason as far as, you know, the colloquial meaning of the word treason. But I'd like to say that, you know, I mean, I it's like
you don't trivialize this, Robert, because it's very important. Because when a judge commits these acts of treason and the law defines it as treason, that judge needs to be immediately removed from the bench. Mm-hmm. You cannot be in bad standing and be a judge. You can't be a criminal and be a judge at the same time.
Well, I know plenty of judges who do that anyway.
Well, we need to enforce our rights, and unless we stand up and insist that these criminals are removed from the bench, who else can we complain to?
Mm-hmm. Well, you know, right follows power in some cases, just as hopefully power follows right. And again, I guess my question is whether I would recommend this to people I know, and right now I'm not persuaded that this is necessarily the way I would go. But
because they're too beaten down?
Well, I would say that, frankly, it's because I need to see the impact of doing this in terms of local courts and how successful or unsuccessful it is. There's a certain morality. There's basic morality, for example, to the right to have shelter or the right to have a decent share of the world's wealth, which I think I tend to agree with, even if the laws of a country do not. I don't have to go to the laws to find that out. Some things are right and some things are not right. Do I recommend people asserting these rights individually on their own at the risk of their own skins?
What we're talking about here with respect to saying that, listen, you can't arrest me until you've proven that I'm guilty, is a very basic right. You're not allowed to do that in this nation, and we're
that's worries. New to me. It's not that you're not allowed. You know, you can. Anyone can arrest anyone else on the basis of probable cause.
No, you need a grand jury indictment. Or you need to commit a felony in prison of officer to be arrested.
You're trying to claim some ancient litigious claim, whereas the actual practices in the United States are quite the contrary, and you know that's the case.
And that's what we have to fix. We need to get back to the Constitution, the construct of this nation, because it's a wonderful construct.
Well, that's a good question. You know, people always like to talk about the wonderful Constitution from 1789, and you know,
it had some
good things about it, but it was mainly a contract with a bunch of slave owners, the Constitution essentially gave huge amounts of power to Southern states, and actually the American Revolution happened.
How many slaves were there in the nation? There
were millions of slaves.
And how many people were there other than that? Because most of the slaves were in the South, but the Constitution wasn't designed around slavery.
We have a republic here because the South seceded along with the rest of the country against the other colonies. But I don't want to get lost in this.
Fair enough.
I don't want to get lost in this. I think it's an interesting historical analysis, and I think it's something I encourage you to get your own show on free radio and talk about it regularly, you know, if you'd like, or possibly even on a. I mean, there are plenty of, you know, there are militia stations and there are right-wing stations that cover this, libertarian stations that cover this in some detail, I would imagine, although I haven't heard them myself recently. And I'm not saying that this isn't an approach that doesn't everything bears analysis and bears
which is
scrutiny.
Important. I think
I'm scrutinizing right now some things that have been happening downtown in terms of
let's focus on
people
those.
Being arrested for sleeping, people being arrested for trivial shit. And a lot of this, you know, it seems like, well, you know, Military Commissions Act, what is, you know, and you know, loss of the writ of habeas corpus and you know, the executive orders of July 27th, 2007, which, you know, end of posse comitatus. You want to talk about all these national issues which restrict and which are horrible attacks on the Constitution.
But the reason we have
I'm
them
concerned
is
about what's
of
happening
these.
Locally and what we can do about it.
Exactly.
And theoretical talk about grand juries and verified complaints.
No, these are not theoretical talks.
Let me put it this way. When I've seen, and I guess we should come back at a time.
We will. We'll arrange.
You'll bring in the documentation. Mm-hmm. You'll say, Robert, I've been into court on the following six occasions. On each of these occasions, I used, and you're pointing to your computer saying, it's already been done. You know, it's just not perhaps as well organized. You don't have it at the tip of your fingers and all the details. We can talk about that.
Well, we certainly can,
And you will be talking, and you are talking about that on your website. And I'm shutting you up somewhat because I run things here, little boss that I am. And I was talking about the police department and how, you know, just in one instance where homeless people took some sovereignty themselves, they said, we're not going to squat this land forever. We're not going to try and take over territory. We're saying, we want a legal, safe place to sleep where we're not going to be harassed by police. We're doing what every person has to do at night.
Yeah.
So we went to City Hall in early August, and we stayed there. And we were smeared by the police department and the Sentinel. So I put in a Public Records Act request to say, okay, well, let's, you know, here are these claims of all this bad behavior by people, poor people who went there, which I didn't see, and which they claimed didn't happen. Let's find out what the actual police records say. The response from records keeper Tricia Hewsom at the Santa Cruz Police Department was, got to put some money up front. Well, I'll say, okay. So I went in yesterday to put some money up front, and they wouldn't take any more money. I wanted to give them a little more money because I wasn't sure how much it would cost, but they wouldn't take that. So they could only take the exact amount of money that she proposed, which she admitted she didn't know if that would be how much it was going to cost because she wasn't sure. So I left her several phone messages saying, you know, since you don't know how much it is, do about half the job. Print out what's required, and then tell me how much it costs so I don't end up trying to spend $100 for all this stuff, you know, because we haven't got that kind of money.
Well, I think it's fair enough. If it costs $100 to get that information, Robert, I will put that forward.
Great. At last, the money bags has entered the studio. Now we're talking.
But I think this is the issue. We have these slanderous allegations coming out of the sheriff's,
the
district
issue to
attorney's
me, the issue
office.
The issue to me is that when a poor person walks into the police station and wants a public record for any reason whatsoever, if they're told suddenly that they have to pay a huge amount of money to get it, they're going to be discouraged from doing it, and the police will be further insulated from what is going
on.
That's
not
the
case.
They can't all come to you.
Again,
they
can't.
I'm glad you're offering this.
You're absolutely right. They can't tell you. You're not asking for copies. You just want to see the public record.
Correct. Now, the police department is...
So now what realistically we need to do is, and unfortunately this is what they depend on, they're putting a blockade up against you because they know you don't have the funds. What we need to do is file suit against these criminals who are doing these blockades and remove them from office.
Well, I think
Need to have access to public records.
I think it should be free.
Yes,
and I think there's a number of things we can do. I mean, one of the things is to try to file suit, which takes years to do, try to get some administrative action from their authorities, which may not involve filing suit, but so embarrassing them that they have to respond at some level. Public exposure, and I think mass action all have their place. And one of the things we're doing here is we're talking about it on the radio and getting that information out to the community. I'm on the air with Clive Boustrade. You're tuned to Free Radio, 101.1 FM and freakradio.org. I'm Robert Norris. This is Bathrobes, Piers, Broadsides. How do we make police departments accountable? How do we make courts accountable? How do we restore basic rights and deal with a situation where people are committing, in Clive's view, treason against the Constitution, and I think that
and
certainly
criminal acts and against
criminal
the public.
I mean, there's a criminal occupation of Iraq going on. Every moment we're here, there are more people dying in Iraq because we're not doing something, and because other people are. Because there's an army over there that is killing people at checkpoints, that is arming other groups to kill people as surrogates. That is creating a civil war situation over there.
Robert, do you know that the number of Gulf War vets who are dead has exceeded the number of Vietnam vets who
I've heard the claim. I don't know if it's true.
Now, we've tracked that down. Our dear government is publicizing a figure around 3,800 of our soldiers are dead. However, if you go to the Veterans Affairs website, if you go to Liberty for Life website, we've got the links to the Department of Veterans Affairs.
It's a much larger number. That's what you
claim.
It's
73,000.
Yeah, I've heard that number said. I haven't researched it. And frankly, whether it's 73,000 or 3,000, I'm more concerned that there's 600,000 to a million Iraqis dead and 4 million refugees. That's my concern.
Yeah, which is outrageous. It's the same sort of things
that Hitler was doing. It's more outrageous. It's outrageous by a factor of 600.
An innocent country that's been invaded by the United States, and we're slaughtering millions of people.
Given that situation, and again, and we're not really talking about it. When I talk about securing police records, you know, the Iraqi mother who just lost her kids is going to look at me like I'm some kind of a, you know, fucking lunatic.
She'd look at you and say, you must be absurd. Look what this nation's
doing.
Right,
and so in a way, we are engaging in absurdities here. But I'm going to continue my absurdities because I don't have the answers to... I suppose the answers, you know, are to take whatever militant actions one needs to take to deal with this. I mean, I suppose, you know, you have to risk going to Guantanamo for 5 years and getting the Posada treatment or the Hamdi treatment or the, you know, being held in solitary for 5 years until you're bananas and then getting, you know, essentially getting them a life sentence for what? Sending $50 to an Islamic support group because you think the resistance people should be free. You think the people of Iraq should have an opportunity to free themselves from U.S. oppression, and that suddenly becomes, you know, you're an enemy of the United States. It's a bizarre, bizarre situation, and it's one which is terrifying. Who are the terrorists? They live in Washington, D.C., and they run the country. You know, that's the real terrorism that I can see going on here. You know, we talked about who the terrorists are. The terrorists are the governments.
Based on their own definitions, they're terrorists. Anyone who funds a terrorist activity in other nations, they classify them as terrorists.
Again, getting back to the police department, which I was telling a tale about, however trivial it may sound compared to the broader issues. You know, the police department, I was told, you know, you can't get these records unless you put up money. Okay, I'm going to put up the money, I said. They took a certain amount of money. I put it up, and I said, you know, let me know when half of it is done. I called back this morning to find out what the story was with this, and I was told by the woman who's supposed to do this, Tricia Hewsom, that I would have to make a new Public Records Act request because she would not do half of it. She would only do the entire thing. And I said, you mean you want an additional 10-day period is what you're saying, because that's going to extend the 10-day period. And she became snitty with me.
It sounds like you're being stonewalled.
Yeah, I think that's what it was. And so I wrote a lengthy complaint about this to her superior, the renowned Deputy Chief Vogel, who you may remember was the main man in the last night political spying scandal of about a year and a half ago when the police department infiltrated a peaceful New Year's parade, and when the police were told to investigate it, the guy who investigated it was Deputy Chief Vogel, who investigated it himself. He had ordered it, and so he also investigated his own behavior.
Isn't it
and
wonderful
found himself
how
innocent.
He found himself innocent? Amazing, isn't it?
Now, you know, I like Kevin Vogel. He's a nice guy, but the whole thing is, of course, ridiculous. And you know, I haven't gotten any response. I also haven't gotten any response. This is for regular listeners who are following some of these issues, because I know some people do listen regularly. I've asked the police department to outline whether they follow the procedures of take me to a magistrate, which is a procedure that actually was put into the actual forms, the booking forms of the jail, where they actually note, were you told you had the right to be taken to a magistrate, check, or did you demand to be taken to a magistrate? So that's actually on the form. What that means is not that you have a right to be booked within 48 or 72 hours, not that you have a right to be cited and released, which you do, although a lot of that is at the discretion of either the jail or of the officers involved in terms of at least their practices. But you have a right when you're being held on an infraction, particularly a vehicular code infraction, to be taken immediately to a magistrate if a magistrate is sitting for a probable cause hearing. And I've suggested to people when they get picked up for these bullshit downtown ordinance rules, like you're sitting next to a building.
Now, my colleagues have actually followed through on that request, and I've been present in some of those, interestingly, out at Coyote Lake in Gilroy, where an officer wanted to give my colleague a ticket for not wearing his life vest, which was in mm-hmm. in the boat, not wearing a flotation device, and a flotation device, I think, was the ticket. He didn't want to give them his name or anything. He hadn't committed any crime, so he asked to be taken immediately to see a magistrate, which he was told they couldn't do that. He asked then the question, well, how long does it take you to get a warrant? And the response was about an hour, mm-hmm. Which he responded, said, well, I want to see that magistrate. Now, what they didn't take him there. They took him downtown, booked him into the San Jose jail as John Doe. He still wouldn't give their name because he wanted to see a magistrate. Mm-hmm. 3 days later, they took him to a magistrate. And he was still demanding his rights. He wanted to know what the ticket was. And shortly after that, they checked him out of the San Jose jail downtown as still as John Doe, because they didn't have any basis to arrest him. But he stuck to his guns with mm-hmm. respect to that. And the key element with respect to your rights is as soon as
What happened? Did he get any kind of recompense for this, or was he just held for 3 days?
Well, he was held for 3 days, and the next procedural he needs to follow through, which we're not following through, and it's our responsibility, particularly those of us who have the means.
He hasn't gotten anywhere.
He needs to sue them. No, well, he'll get
That's
there.
That's fine. The question is whether he'll get anywhere with the lawsuit. I'm tired of, you know, hearing this, oh, you assume and everything's going to be fine. I want to know what the results of these
well,
lawsuits
that,
are.
Well, that's what we're doing.
Well, that's nice. Well, when you get somewhere, I want to know about it.
One of the results
Before
of
that,
lawsuits...
I don't want to hear authoritative statements that claim that you're going to get somewhere when you haven't
I'm looking
somewhere.
at your shelf over there. There's one of the results sitting on your shelf of lawsuits. All those bottles of beer, Robert. That represents 70,000 lawsuits filed against the government to get rid of prohibition. Now, if we look at prohibition, the primary people making money during Prohibition era were the government.
I'm not going to argue with you about that, and I think it's an interesting bit of information. I'm not saying it's a bad strategy at some level. But to go around recommending to people that they do this as some sort of solution to this problem when you haven't done it successfully locally...
Are we doing it successfully?
Well, then I want to get the specifics on it.
Well,
when
that's
it happens.
What
you
we're
don't
showing.
Have any... You've just given me an example which did not result in
no,
a successful
Robert,
conclusion.
No, Robert, we have a successful collusion. We do have a very successful collusion in
inclusion.
Our conclusion
inclusion.
Here.
Collusive
conclusions.
Yeah.
I have won my lawsuit against the county and state. They owe my company and I.
Okay, wait a minute. No. We're talking about your case of the lifeguard guy.
Now, he hasn't followed through yet,
no.
as far as I know.
No.
He might have.
I want to know if anybody has followed through successfully with a take me to a magistrate lawsuit recently. Now, I suspect that somebody did win this, because otherwise the sheriff's office wouldn't be bothering to do this, check it off on the booking sheet. But my point was, and I want to roll back to this, is that I tried to get from our police department. Sheriff's Department is one jurisdiction, and the police department is another. Most of the people who get arrested under the sleeping ban will find themselves dealing with the police department, because the police department enforce city laws, and the sleeping ban is a city code. So, you know, and also the downtown ordinances that say if you're sitting within 14 feet of a building, that's an infraction. If you don't move your political table every hour when demanded to do so,
hang
that's
on,
an
you
infraction.
See, you said something that rather strange. An infraction. What is an infraction?
We're not going to get into that right now. You understand what I mean?
Infraction of a
We're
crime?
We're not going to get into that right now, we can argue about that one for a while. But it's what they call a minor crime. Therefore,
a fraction of a crime.
That being a
it's not a crime.
That's
it's
right,
a
tiny
fraction
of a crime. It's a minor part of a crime. But something they can write
a
you
non-entity
they
in
can,
itself.
They will write you a ticket for and intimidate you into if you don't sign the ticket.
Bottom
they'll
line,
they'll
you
take
said
you to
it's
jail
intimidate.
So the question is, and it's always intimidation. But the fact of the matter is, given the intimidation and given the what people face who don't have $375 to go file a lawsuit, and maybe even some who do, you know. The fact of the matter is that when this comes up, the question is, during the day, if there's a judge sitting, I do know people who have said, take me to a magistrate. Becky Johnson was one of them. She was writing on the sidewalk and the sleeping ban in erasable chalk and was willing to erase it with water. But they claimed it was vandalism. And they took her, and they won the case. They had convicted her. Junk Justice Joseph, the commissioner, convicted her of vandalism after a trial. She didn't get a jury trial. She got a trial before a judge. But she was allowed to go before a magistrate for a probable cause hearing. And the point here is not that you're going to win the probable cause hearing. The judges will side with the cops almost in every situation. But it will take the cops off the streets for this period of time and discourage them from harassment, particularly for such things, let's say, as marijuana tickets. If you're being Correct. Given a marijuana ticket, don't just sit there and, you know, saying, yes, sir, three bags full. Say, you know, officer, I think you haven't got probable cause. Take me to a magistrate. I'm not sure if I want to sign this citation or not. I might. You know, I might be up for it. I might not. But take me to a magistrate. And if you make this request when the judges aren't sitting, they'll take you to jail, and they'll presumably give you an opportunity to post bail, which you might not have the money for, or to be released OR, which they might agree for you. But during the day, it's a strategy that can be used.
And if we follow that, we're going to cut down the problem. You're right, Robert.
Well, the problem is also going to be a lot of people don't want their lives interrupted with this kind of shit. They want the police out of here right away. They'll sign the fucking ticket. But, of course, the trouble is when you sign the ticket, it involves you in a process. Now,
you actually start funding the process against yourself by doing that.
You also do that. But so what we're trying to do here is we've actually got six people have gotten tickets for sleeping at this protest. And these are tickets that are issued in violation of the Jones decision, which says that you can't arrest someone under the Eighth Amendment unless you've got a place for them to go if you're arresting them for sleeping at night because they're homeless. So we are trying to document the fact that the police are regularly violating this, which doesn't require a hell of a lot of documentation because it's clear that's what they're doing. We are trying to help people when confronted with the police to say, look, officer, you got a legal place for me to go sleep? If not, please leave me alone. Oh, you want me to sign this citation? I'd like to talk to your sergeant first because I don't think there's probable cause. Jones' decision in the Ninth Circuit Court of Appeals says cruel and unusual punishment. The point is for people to stand up and start asserting that they have basic rights in the situation and for the rest of us in the community to do the same. Now, what we're going to be doing this weekend is we're going to be returning to Bookshop Santa Cruz. Why Bookshop Santa Cruz? Well, because that's the lair of Vice Mayor Coonerty, Ryan Coonerty of the City Council. Ryan is, his father owns the bookstore. He himself is a chief worker there, and he's also a constitutional lawyer, he says. He considers himself a constitutional lawyer, teaches classes at Cabrillo and UCSC in constitutional law, and somehow feels that it is constitutional to arrest people for sleeping at night, even though there's no legal place for them to be in Santa Cruz. Tonight, in Santa Cruz, there's space for 40 people, and there's 1,500 to 2,000 people who are out there, which is something of a snug fit, if you will, or a no fit, if you will. It gives me a fit. So that's another event that's coming up on Sunday that will be there at 2 o'clock for you. You're invited, Clive, to come on down, distribute your DVDs. In fact, we'll probably have some on the table for you for people to check out. Although how many homeless people have DVD machines, I don't know. We'll see about that. And then, of course, Tuesday is the city council meeting, the first city council meeting of the fall. And that happens at 3 o'clock in the afternoon, I believe, although I haven't seen the agenda yet. And I'll be hopefully talking about that more on Sunday when I come back. We have a longer show on Sunday, 9:30 to 1 o'clock in the morning, 9:30 in the morning to 1 o'clock in the afternoon, I should say, here on Free Radio at 101.1 FM and freakradio.org. In case you're falling asleep as we drone or as I drone on here, give a call and you can hear your own voice. Might wake everybody up. 427-3772. I'm going to read something from another area of significant impact to people concerned about basic rights, which is sort of similar to your prohibition example, Craig. It's about marijuana prohibition. And indeed, in dealing with marijuana prohibition, sorry, that clock.
That indeed is exactly the same topic, same area. In fact, when the government at the highest level reversed the prohibition amendment, now, of course, the Constitution is the highest law, it overrules every other law. When they reversed the prohibition amendment, it made it specifically illegal for the government to prosecute anyone for the sale or consumption of any controlled substance. The government cannot prosecute you for shooting yourself in the foot or for injecting Drano into your vein.
Something they've been apparently violating for the last 45 or 50, 60 or 70 years, and I expect you'll get your lawyers on that one. Hi, you're on Free Radio with Clive and Robert.
Robert.
Madison, this is call number three. Welcome
back.
Sorry, go
ahead. You're right.
Sorry, hang on a second, Madison. So what's cooking?
Sorry, you could bring your sleeping at night thing to the grand jury.
That's not a bad idea. I've got nothing against
it. No, let him get into the grand jury discussion and prohibition. The kids don't know anything about this, Robert. Nothing.
Mm-hmm.
They can't even get out of, like, spelling class here.
I'm not sure what you're talking about, Madison.
Well, the grades. I mean, we're, like, 33% below. It's a mess here. Throw money at it, it'll fix the education network. Let him go on.
Slow down and take a deep breath. You sound a little methed out yourself there, Madison.
No, what Madison is saying is that education is so poor here that people are not aware of what's going on. And she's right. It's one of the lowest education.
I don't know if it's a matter of education or miseducation or whether it's a matter of people tending to follow people at folks in positions of authority. I think the grand jury's, I don't know if the sleeping ban has been brought to the grand jury's attention. I think it may have been sort of obliquely in the past. I know Becky Johnson, a fighter against the sleeping ban, was an alternate on the grand jury a couple of years ago. I don't think she was ever called to the grand jury. But I think, police abuses are important, and I'm going to start CCing the grand jury. I think every Public Records Act problem I have. This letter that I wrote to the police department earlier today said, look, one, I think, as you pointed out, we should have a right to view public records. The courts have acknowledged we have a right to view them without paying for them. We don't have to pay for them. We should be able to see them. The police department is, I think, as important. I haven't got a right to look at, confidential youth files, and I'm not interested in ongoing investigations. But, police reports, which document what the police are doing so that they can be held accountable, I think, are and ought to be, if they're not, an easily accessible public record, which they could do. All they need to do is set up a public computer in the police station with, files that are redacted, if necessary, for the public to see, instead of trying to charge them and secrete those files away, which is what they now do. And, in fact, this may be illegal behavior by the police department, but we are in such a police state situation that I don't know if, and this is the problem with lawsuits, if you have a Supreme Court that is extremely fascistic, if you will, then all the lawsuits in the world won't help you out.
Well,
that's the problem.
Let me share one of the strategies we used in our lawsuits. Because our companies sued, they were corporations which were based in another state. Now, the 11th Amendment is something in our Constitution which precludes judicial power in any suit filed against the state from a neighboring state. That means that the only power remaining in that suit is jury power. And in fact, jury power is more powerful than judicial power. So we used that procedure to completely cut out the whole snakes and ladder chain we have in
successes.
The court system. Well, our success is the U.S. District Court case we filed, and we filed two cases, and we were successful in both of them. We didn't even have to go to trial.
Successful in terms of?
In winning the suit.
What did you win?
Our first suit, we've won $198 billion. The second suit was $3
million. I see.
And now the procedure is to collect, and that's where we're moving.
As soon as you collect the first penny, I want to know about it. Okay?
I will be in front of the board on September 11th, if any of you would like to come along at 9 a.m.
You mean the City Council or the Board of Supervisors?
The Board of Supervisors.
Well, don't forget to go to the City Council. We'll be there at night at 7 o'clock.
Discussing the collection of our lawsuit.
So, on September 11th, actually, is going to be the first City Council meeting of the fall, and some of us will be there from human rights groups talking about police abuses and the sleeping ban, and we're also planning a broader protest the fourth Tuesday, or the second City Council meeting of the month, which will be happening 2 weeks later when we'll have more time to prepare. In fact, there's likely to be a teach-out, or a teach-in, or a sleep-out, or a little of both, and you're invited to come and set up a special training session, Clive, on and you can even donate $396 or however much it would require for people to file the various federal lawsuits. And I'm a little sarcastic about all this, but I understand that you're quite sincere and that you are, trying to move in a way that will move this process forward. Now, here's the article that I was talking about. It's called The Mother of All Pot Meetings. And it's actually a case, I think, it sounds like a citizen victory. It's by activist Pebbles Trippett up in Mendocino County. And it involves the question of how much marijuana is allowed. There's been a lot of, while the voters of the state passed Proposition 215, which allow people the medical marijuana they require, and the state has tried to pass relatively broad guidelines for marijuana, local jurisdictions are trying to cut this back. So, for example, here in Santa Cruz, D.A. Bob Lee went after the Hemporium and Roger Minch, claiming that any club which sells marijuana violates the law unless it's a care provider, which is, you know, actively engaged in providing care for people, suggesting that all clubs opened up in California are illegal clubs, which, though it may have some justification in some of the court rulings, has no justification whatsoever in what the people of this community believe is right, fair, and appropriate, and what they want as public policy here in Santa Cruz County. And the idea that Bob Lee would be allowing his prosecutors to use this discredited theory and wasting taxpayer money taking people to court on this, to me, is incredibly outrageous. And I've talked about it before on this matter. And I think it happens because we don't have any active medical marijuana advocates other than people like Valerie Corral of Wham, who has kind of formed her private deal with the county and the city, and doesn't have too much to say in favor of those who aren't a part of the Wham group or operating on the Wham model. So we also have the situation around the marijuana issue of Measure K. This is the measure that passed the city, a number of cities, in fact, which says marijuana enforcement, not just medical marijuana, but all adult use of marijuana in private should be a matter of lowest priority enforcement for the police. Actually, it's none of the cops' business to be doing anything around marijuana. But
hang on, Robert. You are indeed. You're infringing on the right of the government to control the drug industry. The same thing during Prohibition. What we saw during the Prohibition era was that the primary people making money.
I don't give a shit. Wait a minute. I don't give a shit if I'm infringing on the voters voted
that.
No, but
you're infringing on
the
criminals and government.
Voted this in this county.
You're not getting it just.
Wait a minute. In this city, it was done. I'm talking about the will of our community.
What I'm talking about is the law.
I'm talking to the community. I'm trying to talk about the will of the community. And the will of the community was to pass Measure K. I want to get this information out. I know you have your own agenda here.
No, you're missing what I'm saying.
Let me finish it. The information I'm trying to get out is that Measure K was passed, and then it was sabotaged by the city attorney in a lawsuit they took to court, which said Measure K, the Measure K Oversight Committee, which requires the police to document every single marijuana arrest they make, show that it was the lowest priority. They have to do this not only here but in Santa Barbara and West Hollywood, in other cities that passed this initiative now. It's not being challenged.
What I'm saying is being sidetracked.
Wait a minute. It's not being challenged in court.
I know it's
a sidetrack. I'm not.
The whole issue is a sidetrack.
I know the whole issue is a sidetrack. We're on the sidetrack because that's the basis on which we're discussing it. It shows us something, though. What it shows us here in Santa Cruz is that the city attorney, even though it doesn't mean much to allow this commission to exist, they don't even want this commission to exist. And they've moved to court to crush the commission. And what happened here is...
They're spending our money doing it.
Now we spent the money doing it. They got Ben Rice, the attorney who is supposed to be our big our marijuana spokesperson,
advocate.
The great advocate, the person who was defending Theodora Carey, who was the activist who put this measure on the ballot along with a lot of other folks. They did a stipulation which removed all the power of this commission, of this oversight commission, to get any information from the police department, to have a police department liaison present, or to cook up a form that would require the police or through the city manager to report on what they're doing. This was all thrown out by a stipulation that you see nowhere in the media, not mentioned in the Sentinel, not mentioned by Theodora Carey, who I talked to today. She said she wasn't even aware that it happened. She trusted Ben Rice. When I talked to Ben Rice about this issue about a week ago, he was vague about it. He said, well, is this a charter city? We can't really do this and that and so forth. It might be unconstitutional. My issue is beyond all this. If the community votes for something this strongly, then you have an opportunity to organize in the community to push this issue directly on the streets, through your procedure of lawsuits, through jury information. If you can mobilize the community around this issue, then you can get somewhere. And the community in this country, in this city, believes marijuana is not a problem in the way that other kinds of issues are problems.
Marijuana is far less infiltration than alcohol,
right,
which is great to use
for
tobacco, which is absolutely correct. But what I'm suggesting is that we're missing the point. We're running around in these circles, side issues, like the war in Iraq. The war in Iraq is utterly illegal. We need to get the hell out of there. We're committing the same acts Hitler committed by going into Iraq. We have no right to be in Iraq or any other nation.
So how do we get
the
out?
Same thing with respect to the marijuana issue. We need to get right down to the point and recognize that the people making money in this drug dealing industry are the government. They do not have a right to prosecute you for smoking pot or for shooting yourself in the foot or injecting yourself with Drano. This is the law, and the only way we can do this is going after the criminals in our government who are trying to enforce these unlawful and unconstitutional issues against we the people. And the only way we can really do that is through the grand jury indictments and to go after these people and get them out of office.
I think there's a variety of methods to do it, and I think that, you know, it's wrong to think there's any one.
There are many. I would agree with that, Robert. You know, and the more the merrier.
Approaches. You know, yep. Perhaps some folks out there have their own ideas on this. 427-3772 is the number to call in if anybody's interested. I was following the situation up in Mendocino County, reading a lot from the Anderson Valley Advertiser, which I find is a really kind of an interesting paper still, even though it's slimmer than it used to be. Pebbles Trippett, who's a fighter for this, she's been to jail for several years, fighting for medical marijuana and also for the right against the war on drugs generally, and has been reporting on this issue for quite a while. I'm trying to decide if I really want to read this because it's pretty specific to Mendocino. I think while I ponder this whole issue, let's take a musical break and I'll take a breath or two. We'll be right back.
shove it into my arm. Wherever I feel life is coming on too strong. They left me in the clinic full of cynical and motherfucking bureaucrats. And other kind of dingbats are living on the tracks, but the tracks in my arm. Said it all depends on which side the tracks you're on. So telling me what to wear and telling me cut my hair and trying to convince me that they really, really care about my health and about my wealth. But still they built their stealth, cause everybody's just looking out for that. So then I ask him, can I have a clean needle? He say, hell no, that's illegal, it's a crime. Yeah. To be broke in America, say it's a crime. To be black in America, come on, y'all. Brothers in the poorhouse who can't afford more house. Politicians nervous, it's the only free service they provide. You wanna go inside, there's a hot meal waiting for you. A deal, we can score you on a bed for a night or two, or 3 or 4 months. They say they locking us up in a cell to protect us from ourselves. It smells like they got another plan in storehouse, or should I say warehouse, full of niggas and other misfits that couldn't turn tricks in the courthouse. Nah, it's a justice whorehouse, and it's a crime. To be broke in America, say it's a crime. Yeah, to be broke in America, come on, y'all.
And that's from Skidmark Bob's Fine Homeless or Houseless USA Collection Volume 1 from 2001. I'm still waiting for the Volume 2. Come on there, Skidmark. And that's Crime to be Broken America by Michael Franti and, of course, No Shelter, Rage Against the Machine. You are tuned to 101.1 FM, freakradio.org. I'm Robert Norris. In the studio, overwhelming me with his endless libertarian constitutional arguments is Clive Bustrade, who's been fighting his own battle and a lot of battles for, actually, as I think as he sees it, a lot of people for the last 2 or 3 years, at least. He's gone to jail for it, I might say, on felonies, because he's struggled to secure his rights and trusting in attorneys instead of in his own legal devices. I'm going to play now, however, some stuff from the streets from people who are less articulate, perhaps, than Clive. But this is about protest, and to me, a lot of what I do is about protest. I think it has a really positive effect. It raises people's awareness, raises people's spirits, raises a little cane, and raises a little ire in the conventional quarters of politicians who need to have these issues thrown in their face. And Bookshop Santa Cruz is where we've been doing it every week on Sunday at 2:00 in the afternoon because, well, that's where Ryan Coonerty, who's our mayor to be in November probably, hangs out. Now, there have also been some new flyers have come out this week. If you're interested, I'm going to try to post them on IndieBay. You can check them out. They should be available. I guess Clive will be doing some tabling tomorrow at the Truth 9/11 event. And Huff, they've graciously allowed Huff to have some space on the table there. So you can pick up some flyers. Newest flyers, Birds of a Feather, Black Ball Together, Coonerty, Riley, and Rotkin. Coonerty is, of course, the vice mayor. Riley is the mayor, and Rotkin is the shadow mayor. Move to Punish Activists, and it's kind of a summary of what happened at what Coonerty has been up to, banning two activists from coming in the Bookshop Santa Cruz. What Mayor Riley has been up to, refusing to meet with homeless protesters. What ACLU Board of Directors and council member Mike Rotkin has been up to, using the police, making false police reports about a disruption at the meeting of the ACLU. When all we tried to do was walk in with signs asking the ACLU to consider the sleeping ban as a civil rights violation about a week and a half ago. These flyers will be available tomorrow, and they'll be available on Sunday in front of the Bookshop Santa Cruz tomorrow, 7:00 at the Vets Hall. And there'll be numbers you can call. So if you, for example, want to contact Mayor Riley, you can give her a call at 818-6490. She no longer takes appointments at the office, so you have to call her on her cell phone, 818-6490. If you want to talk to Mike Rotkin as to why he feels that it should be unconstitutional or should be appropriate for the police to arrest you, although the police don't think so. They supported my right to have a sign at the ACLU, but Mike somehow feels the police should be more repressive than they feel they should be. Call him at 425-3619, 425-3619. And Coonerty, our vice mayor, soon to be mayor, can be reached at 423-8939, 423-8939. You can call me off air if you got some thoughts at a number. It's fairly easy to remember, 423-HUFF, 423-4833. One of the things we've been doing at the Bookshop Santa Cruz is giving a note to pass on to Vice Mayor Ryan Coonerty. Before you buy at his Bookshop Santa Cruz, ask him why he backs a nighttime sleeping ban for the houseless for the homeless with no shelter for 95% of them, $97 citations for the crime of falling asleep after 11, twice the number of sleeping tickets from Coonerty's police as at the same period last year, 1,500 to 2,000 homeless people in no campground or car park, a blanket ban after 11 o'clock at night, a ban on tents 24 hours a day, even in rainy weather, anti-homeless parking restrictions, and I'll be talking about that more in a moment. In other words, you want to get my take on these flyers. I'm going to try to post them on IndieBay.org, Santa Cruz Indie Media, which is a good site to go to for if you want to read some of my stuff. I post a lot of my stuff there. But you can also, as I said, check out the Coonerty Bookshop Sidewalk at 2 o'clock on Sunday, and also we'll be at City Council at 7 o'clock on Tuesday coming up, and then at 7 o'clock tomorrow night. As I said, Clive will be available, and he has this fine DVD, which is actually, I think, quite professionally produced, although Clive, his hair has gotten longer, and he frankly looks a lot better than he did in that skanky suit you were wearing in the DVD, Clyde. I don't know what to say about that one. Anyway, let's hear what is it like in front of the Bookshop Santa Cruz protesting. Well, here's an example. I believe this is either 1 or 2 weeks ago. The actual date may be on the tape, and if not, I may be able to fathom it. But I always want to give the people on the streets an opportunity to say a word or two, and here's some of that.
Jessica.
Yeah, Jessica, we're down here at the Bookshop Santa Cruz about 20 to 3 on the, 2nd of September 2007. You just filled out this Before You Buy at the Bookshop Santa Cruz, ask Vice Mayor Coonerty why. Why did you fill this out?
I filled it out because I wanted to support this awareness project about trying to lift the ban. If we're going to ban people from sleeping, we should at least provide them with enough beds at the homeless shelter, or at least accommodate them somehow. So.
What about this hefty-looking fellow to your right? What do you say, sir?
I mean, it's just a question of whose land it is, and I don't think that you can really own land and tell people that they can't be and sleep, you know, on public property. You know, people have rights too, and sleeping is a basic human right that shouldn't be violated, you know, no matter what.
Well, see if Vice Mayor Coonerty agrees with you, or maybe he can give you an argument that persuades you otherwise. I better take this.
Okay.
Now, you've just signed up something, too. What's your name?
I just got into an accident.
Uh-oh. I'm sorry. Well, good luck with the accident. What is activist Becky Johnson, whose video camera is ailing, but her eyes are still working? What did you see today, Becky?
Oh, as I was walking over here, I saw a man at the corner of Church Street and Pacific Avenue, and he was kind of interruptive, frankly. I know you're double tasking.
Go for it.
Where was I? At the corner of Church Street and Pacific Avenue, and there was this police, this man standing there who was sort of well dressed, and he had two little frou-frou dogs on a leash there. And it's a very hot day today, and so they were in the shade, panting anyway. Here's another dog, by the way.
A criminal dog.
Yeah.
Arrest that dog.
Yeah. But anyway, just then Officer Klein came around the corner, and he said, sir, those dogs are illegal here. And he says, where is that, officer? And the officer helpfully pointed out which blocks he could be on and where he could have to go to keep his dog lawfully, and the man thanked him, and of course no citation was issued.
Did he remove his dog from the offending position?
I didn't actually see him remove the dog. I think he was waiting for a car to come by to pick him and the pack up.
Illegal waiting for a pooch. I mean, waiting for a car for a pooch.
Well, you know, I mean, these poor little puppies, they needed to be in the shade. I mean, was that officer really saying that he had to take those little puppies out into the hot sun there like that?
Here, here. I mean, they're there. I mean, well, what can I say?
Well, I saw a moment of compassion with Officer Klein, that he was able to suspend.
Compassion for the well-to-do.
Citation of a dog. On a there's another one right there. There's a Great Dane coming this way.
There are dogs everywhere downtown. What is going on here? I'm going to stop even discussing this because I'm so disgusted. We're talking with
Becky.
Becky, you just went into the bookshop. Why did you go in there?
I think homeless people should have a right to sleep where they desire, and I think that, you know, pushing them away is just going to cause problems in this beautiful, lovely community.
And are you a long-time liver here? Are you one of these interlopers from out of town?
I am from Monterey, but come here every weekend, so I love it here. So I think they should have a right to stay here.
I'm going to research in Monterey what they're doing to the homeless there. I expect a full report.
I will. I'll try.
Now, you went into the bookstore with this, I guess, a statement, ask Ryan Coonerty why he backs the sleeping ban and so forth. What was he in there?
They just immediately rejected me and said go to City Hall where it actually takes place, where all the problems are located.
But Ryan Coonerty is located here.
I don't know. You know, he just rejected it. What
it's a mystery.
Do?
Maybe he just didn't feel like taking it today.
No, maybe not.
Come back another day.
Yeah, I know, of course.
The homeless, come back another night and try to sleep.
I know. It's just not fair, man. Thanks for doing this.
Thank you, Becky.
Yeah.
Appreciate it. Boycott bigotry at the bookshop Santa Cruz. Yes, in our town, a supposedly progressive bookstore owner supports anti-homeless laws. It's hard to believe. I hate to believe it. Unfortunately, I'm forced to believe it. It's true. It's sad. It sucks. But there it is. Ryan Coonerty, Vice Mayor of Santa Cruz, soon to be mayor, chief worker in the bookshop Santa Cruz, supports anti-homeless laws. How can this be? Ryan Coonerty is a progressive. His father owns a great bookstore. Yet he supports laws against the poor. Could be he's a very shrewd businessman. You're not going to make any money off the poor these days. Know what I mean? Bookshop Santa Cruz, the store that didn't support a raise in the minimum wage for workers on Pacific Avenue. Talk to Ryan Coonerty, the vice mayor. He works in the bookshop Santa Cruz. Here you are with your pooch. What's your name?
It's Sonia.
And what is your pooch's name?
Jada.
And how long have you and Jada been in Santa Cruz? Walking up and down today?
Oh, just like 10 minutes.
No hassles from police?
No.
Excellent. Well, here's the deal. If you want, we are trying to send a message to the vice mayor. Did Rick tell you about that?
Yes.
Okay, well, it looks like that's quite a puppy you've got there. An obedient puppy, I might add. Well, we'll talk to you while I go off tape. Ryan Coonerty, is he inside? Will he come out? Is he loikin' in the bookshop? Bring that man out to talk to the people. If he's in there, who knows? So here at the table, and it's about 3 o'clock, off to the side, reading over the literature for typographical errors, the interest of Gregarious Greg. And here, a musician in training, or actually in waiting, Valerie Christie, walking up and down with a video camera. It's the infamous Rick. Rick, are you videoing? Who are you videoing? How's it going? He's keeping an eye on things. Bernard, does that video camera actually work?
I'm doing dogs right now.
Videoing dogs.
Dogs, yeah.
By which you mean actual four-legged creatures.
Yes,
indeed. In order to make sure that they don't engage in criminal behavior downtown without being held accountable.
Right.
Under the no dogs on Pacific Avenue, even on a leash law.
Appreciate your peanut butter jelly
sandwich. Meanwhile, in front of the bookshop, Becky Johnson and Bernard Klixner, two banned from the bookshop Santa Cruz, are giving out flyers, as is Andrew over by the main entrance of the bookshop. So far, no sign of Ryan Coonerty, the bookshop Santa Cruz entrepreneur, or at least one of the workers, who's inside. Vice mayor, apparently, but not on Sundays, because we've tried to give one of the statements to him, and we've been told, go to City Hall. Yeah. What's up? Oh, you were scratching your face. You were necking me over. Gregarious Greg, you have a bit of wisdom for us?
Well, I merely wanted to point out that even Rush Limbaugh noted compassion and empathetic man for, I'm sure, the...
A passionate conservative.
For the, you know, marginalized and dispossessed. Even he says, for one of his sponsors regularly on his program, you have an inalienable right to sleep. Naturally, on one of his sponsors' mattresses. But he uses the term, you have an inalienable right to sleep. Okay?
Indeed. Well, there you are. Well, let's get Rush out here in front of the bookshop. That should provoke a little controversy. Thank you, Greg.
I guess you never listen to it because you don't even tune in.
Well, probably not.
Window, sir.
So you actually tried to, you looked in the window of the Bookshop Santa Cruz.
I tried to read a few titles on some of the books.
You are not allowed to go into the Bookshop Santa Cruz?
That's correct,
sir. Now, why have they banned you from the bookshop?
These good, I'm sure, wise, I'm sure, powerful, I'm sure, bookshop owners have banned me from going in their store.
Banned from the Bookshop Santa Cruz, sir?
It's sad but true. I feel so ashamed.
No, come on now. You must be kidding.
If only I were just kidding. But no, I received an actual email from Vice Mayor Ryan Coonerty, who's a part-time cashier at Bookshop Santa.
Wait a minute. If he's only a part-time cashier, how can he possibly ban you?
Yeah, I kind of wondered about it. I thought isn't someone in management have to do that?
Well, maybe Ryan is the spiritual center of the Bookshop Santa Cruz. As vice mayor, potentially mayor, perhaps they look to him for guidance.
Well, as vice mayor, he certainly has credibility in what he's told me. I don't dare set foot inside Bookshop Santa Cruz, nor my beloved companion Bernard Klitzner, who did know nothing at all.
A likely story. The man looks very suspicious. Look at him over there, giving out literature. What does that literature say?
Well, you know, it's free literature, and in Bookshop Santa Cruz, they usually sell literature. So it's kind of suspect already.
There you go. You know, they're not down here for their health. So what's your complaint?
Oh, well, how will I read books anymore or keep current? Or how will I get my periodicals? I might even be driven to Amazon.com.
No way. We'll find a way. Maybe if you groveled before Vice Mayor Coonerty, he would say, as long as you don't agree, if you give up on your foolish crusade for the homeless, you can once more enter the Bookshop Santa Cruz.
Oh, and I need to go to the bathroom really bad, too.
No bathrooms downtown, except in the Bookshop Santa Cruz, and you can't go in there.
Of which I have fond memories.
Indeed. Those were the days, plumbing and all that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, well, if only we had a toilet plunger here at the Huff table, perhaps this wouldn't have happened.
Uh-oh, you mean, what are you suggesting?
Well, whoever or whatever shoved those alleged clothing articles or whatever
Ryan Coonerty did in this email suggest that he was afraid that our protest resulted in certain individuals getting wild and crazy and trying to vandalize his restroom facilities, although he didn't give any real evidence of that. And he did agree that we were not directly responsible. It's a curious conundrum.
Well, if only we had had a toilet plunger at the Huff table, we could have rushed in at the critical moment,
taken the plunge,
unplugged that toilet, and saved the toilets and the maintenance costs for Bookshop Santa Cruz.
Ah, those were the days. That would have been a thing.
Yeah, so Bernard and I wouldn't be joining you. And by the way, Robert...
Summer of Love.
Where do you pee?
Never mind.
And actually, we have a special theme coming up at our next protest. We are, in fact, going to get the People's Plumbers out there all ready with plumbing equipment to assist Ryan Coonerty and his staff in clearing the Bookshop Santa Cruz of any blocked pipes or sewage problems. We hope to actually have an actual plumber around, perhaps, or at least someone with plumbing experience who can plumb the depths of this situation. So bring along your plunger and come to the Bookshop Santa Cruz on Sunday at 2 o'clock when we're going to resume this protest. That, of course, that lament about being banned from the Bookshop Santa Cruz was from Becky Johnson, who did receive an email from Ryan Coonerty that read as follows. Dear Becky, I find it hard to believe, this is dated August 26th, that you could seriously consider comparing my position on homelessness to the hateful comments below. In my time on the council, I have consistently supported increased funding for social services, even in difficult economic times. In my family's business, as your literature points out, we go far beyond any other business downtown in providing bathrooms and a place to sleep for the homeless population. not to mention donations to the Homeless Garden Project, the Homeless Services Center, etc. I volunteer once a month to bring food to the shelter through the Maison Project at the temple. While I fully support your and Huff's right to First Amendment activity in the community and in front of the bookshop, you should know some of the possible impacts. Since your protest has begun, our bathrooms have been repeatedly vandalized, including shoving clothes down the toilets, smearing excrement on the walls, and cutting the straps from the baby-changing table. As you know, maintaining these bathrooms is difficult and expensive, and increasing the costs will likely lead to the business having to close them. While I don't think you or Huff is directly responsible for these acts, I do believe that by connecting my sister's business, I work 20 hours a week there and receive a small salary, to my council acts, you create a climate where people think an act against the bookshop is a political act. Because of this, this is the key sentence, I want to make clear that you, Becky Johnson, and Bernard, Robert already is, are permanently banned from setting foot in Bookshop Santa Cruz. If I, my sister, or one of our managers see you enter the store, we will have you arrested. Sincerely, Ryan Coonerty, Vice Mayor, City of Santa Cruz. So it's an interesting letter from a man who claims he doesn't really have an interest in the bookstore, that he's only a part-time worker, and yet he's making policy statements and making apparently policy decisions for the Bookshop Santa Cruz. And again, I appreciate his having a... And Neil before him, who owns the bookstore, Supervisor Neil Coonerty, the author of the downtown anti-homeless laws, but himself, you know, compassionate and charitable towards the few homeless people he allows to sleep in front of the bookstore. And, of course, keeping public bathrooms open, I think, is a public service. But these guys have had spent a number of years on the city council, and they've taken zero action to open up public bathrooms where people could use them 24 hours a day, not having to either be customer to his store or at least in his good graces. Because I can't walk in and take a piss in his bookstore. For 13 years, I've been banned from his bookstore, thanks to his father, Neil Coonerty, who didn't like similar protests 13 years ago. So really, it's a sort of a political issue. And in a way, this is all very political. We see Mike Rotkin trying to keep us out of ACLU meetings. We see Emily Riley refusing to give basic respect to homeless protesters by meeting with them when she schedules meetings that she doesn't get to and then suddenly arranges new cumbersome procedures, canceling meetings that have already been scheduled and not allowing people to have scheduled meetings unless they are... They have a phone that she can be called. They can call. She can call them back on. It's all pretty political. It's all about if you have the right political view, I'll talk to you. If you don't, I won't. And so that's why we need to have, you know, a lot of people saying to these politicians in the most direct, loud, and clear way, it's time to end the human rights abuses in Santa Cruz. And hopefully that's what you're going to do. Again, you'll be able to talk with Clive Bustrade, my guest in the studio, tomorrow night. He's going to be at the 9/11 event, 7 o'clock at the Vets Hall, doing some tabling. You'll be able to talk with us in front of the Bookshop Santa Cruz on Sunday at 2 o'clock, where we'll be back trying to plumb the depths of the ignorance and bigotry that seem to be, I don't know, the political fashion in Santa Cruz and the new watchword at the Bookshop Santa Cruz. Because, you know, I mean, they don't have to ban us from the Bookshop Santa Cruz. They could, you know, we aren't doing anything that's either criminal unless you think our opinions are criminal. Right? And similarly, you can come to City Council at 7 o'clock. Or I guess you can come to the Board of Supervisors. Check out Clive's commentary. It'll probably be at, what, 9 o'clock in the morning? On Tuesday morning, September 11th. And there's a call for a general strike on September 11th. You might want to look at that on indiebay.org/Santa Cruz. Back now to the protests last Sunday in front of the Bookshop Santa Cruz to give some of you who may be considering dipping your toes in the water just what the water is like in terms of standing up publicly and saying it is really stupid, crazy, and abusive to criminalize people for sleeping at night when they have no other alternative, who are poor, and then to claim that you're some kind of a compassionate liberal because you let a few people sleep in front of your bookstore but want the rest of the entire population to get $97 fines or be subject to that kind of police abuse, as Ryan Coonerty and Emily Riley and Mike Rotkin and, frankly, the entire Santa Cruz City Council seems to be doing at this moment.
Well, I got Bookshop Santa Cruz until they give us good word that homeless people are allowed to sleep legally somewhere in the city. Vice Mayor Coonerty says no sleep for the homeless while he's vice mayor. And unfortunately, though his term as vice mayor ends in November, he'll become mayor in November. That's a year of Mayor Coonerty coming up. Send a message to Coonerty in the bookshop Santa Cruz. End the laws against the poor. Treat people fairly. Respect basic civil rights in Santa Cruz. Or else we will send you a message. We don't do business with bigotry in the bookshop Santa Cruz. Progressives in name, reactionaries in spirit, boycott the bookshop Santa Cruz, or ask them why they support anti-homeless laws.
Hard work, but I'm willing to work hard.
Sleep crime, a strange Santa Cruz crime, which involves sleeping after 11 o'clock at night if you're homeless. Who made this crime? City Council. What city council member is in the bookshop Santa Cruz? Ryan Coonerty. Ryan Coonerty is chief worker of the bookshop Santa Cruz and also has some connections with the management there, like his dad owns the store. Say no to bigotry in the bookshop Santa Cruz. A law against the poor is an unfair law. Shopping is not enough downtown. Santa Cruz, the town that drives homeless people out of the parks off of Pacific Avenue and criminalizes them at night for sleeping. No legal place for homeless people to sleep. Boycott bigotry in the bookshop Santa Cruz. Vice Mayor Coonerty works there, and his lair is there. Check him out and talk to him if he'll talk to you. $97 tickets for sleeping at night in Santa Cruz if you're poor and have no place to go. Ask Vice Mayor Coonerty of the bookshop Santa Cruz why. Boycott the bookshop. Or ask the mayor why. He's actually only the vice mayor, but he will soon be the mayor.
Over your head, you'll have to stay awake instead. City don't allow no sleeping around.
I'm the move to Fresno.
Police don't allow no hanging around you.
I'm to keep moving this homeless man.
Police don't allow no hanging around you.
We don't want the time down now.
If you ain't got lots of money, it's not a joke, it's not funny. The police don't allow no hanging around you.
You got no money, be on your way.
Mom don't allow no guitar playing around you. A sin, oh, they don't allow no tables around.
tambourine?
No, we can't have any more tambourines around. No, it's a tambourine. And we don't allow. Oh, we don't care what they don't allow. We're playing tambourine anyhow. They don't allow no tambourine.
Well, I never. Talking with? No. We have an anonymous person signing a petition, but brave enough, apparently, to perhaps go into the bookshop Santa Cruz and face the Coonerty in his lair. We'll see if that actually happens.
And that's pretty much it for Bathrop Spears Broadsides, but that's a taste of the kind of merriment and mayhem that you'll catch if you come to the bookshop Santa Cruz 2 o'clock on Sunday. I'll be back with a fuller discussion of what's coming up on the Santa Cruz City Council agenda on Tuesday, when I come back in the Sunday morning at 9:30 in the morning. Coming up next on Free Radio Santa Cruz, it's From the Cream to the Dregs with Uncle Dennis. Anything special coming up, Dennis, we should know about?
Let's hear some Janis Joplin.
Janis Joplin's coming at us. So we're going to be listening to Janis, and if you want to get in touch with me off times here or off key, as the case may be, 423-HUFF, 423-4833, or check me out at the Human Rights Organization meeting. That's going to be 2 o'clock on Saturday at 131 Front Street at the Firefly. We're going to be meeting there and planning more protests. Thanks for being with me on this station of Bathrop Spears Broadsides.
You better try hard today.
Try just a little. can't even hear you trying at all, man.
Try just a little bit harder.
Work on, push on,
try,
come on,
just
come
a
on,
little bit harder.
Come on.
Just a little bit harder.
Work on, push on, move on. Work on, push on, come on, move
just
on. Work on,
harder.
Push on, move on. Child, your time is of you. If you want to win a man.
Just
let me tell you, honey,
harder.
You better work your sweet ass for him. Hey, and if you ever wanted a good woman,
just
Lord,
a bit harder.
You gotta do more than that, man. You gotta work on, push on.
Just
hey, you gotta work on, push on, move on, work on, come on, work on, push on, move on, come on, come on, come on, come on, try, 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 try.
Janis Joplin wasn't at Golden Gate Park this past Sunday, but pretty much everybody else who was alive did make it, and maybe in some cases not doing all that well, but anyway, it was pretty much a success. Uncle Dennis was there. It was the 40th anniversary of the Summer of Love, and I was joined in Speedway Meadows by 100,000 other people. Reports you read in the local Sentinel and in the Mercury that there were only 20,000 people there were absolute baloney. The place was packed from trees to trees for half a mile. It was absolutely fantastic. The only bummer of the day was that a lot more people were smoking cigarettes than were smoking dope. But anyway, hi, you're on Free Radio.
Oh, hey, I was at the Peter Mount Flower Power thing, and it was packed. There was 15,000 at the museum. You couldn't even get in to see the artist talk. And
what an amazing scene, huh?
Yeah, and everyone was dancing, and, you know, the museum gave out extra tickets for cocktails, and kids could go there in color.
Great.
So, yeah, and the museum was really excited because Peter was there, and Peter was really excited because he's the museum, and, you know, he's a graphic artist, so that was a big step for them, the Max crowd. And his photographer's a local boy from San Jose. And everybody from Hippie Hill was there. The first Asian hippie and the girl that sits in the tree. And, I mean, it was like, you had to fast forward because I was there when I was like 5. And then everybody was like 60, and I was like, whoa. And it was very packed.
Well, great. I'm glad you had a good time.
Do you know the dedication at that concert when it started? Because I didn't get to go because I was working. But were you there for the dedication at the Meadows?
Yes.
What did they say?
It was dedicated to the promoter, and his name escapes me. But he was the guy who was the promoter, started the Speedway Meadow concerts. He did pretty much brought psychedelic music to San Francisco, and I'll come up with his name at some point tonight. But
But Skip Spence is the founder, man, undebatable founder.
Yes, yes, but this
he was running away from.
I think
all
it was Mr. Hughes. Something.
Yeah.
Anyway.
Well, that's cool.
Anyway,
well, it's good to hear those 100,000
Skip was on stage. There were a lot of people on stage. Paul Wells, the Lobster, was the MC for most of the show.
Yeah, but he didn't show up here until 72.
That's true. He's Big Tom Donahue, who was the DJ back in the day, isn't around anymore. So the Lobster had to do it.
Yeah, Tom Donahue passed?
I believe so. I haven't heard of him in years.
You know, you might go up. There's a librarian who's one of my clients, and she had a real interest in that. And one of the libraries in the city, she made a whole collection of those kind of works.
Yeah.
So we're trying to bring the Mac. Peter wants a museum, and we're trying to bring the museum to San Francisco. So if anybody wants to send the city an email saying, please bring Max and the Presidio, that could be helpful because the collection will come. And that, you know, if you want to be the Paris of the West, we don't want biotech. We want tourism and art, and all the cities have to link on this. And there's a lot of collections that are out there that are going to come due as the hippies age. And, you know, so they need to tell the city, one, you need a museum strategist. Two, we want the Max collection and anybody else who shows up. And there's a few other things that, you know, we'd like. And I've been making them aware of it up there.
Well, thank you very much. I'm sure we appreciate
your
efforts.
Yeah, but anybody, and I said, why don't we have a Flower Power Symposium? I mean, you know, and really get the people there talking about, you know, this, like the Asian guy was telling me about how he came out of, you know, just the 60s and all that, you know, being the first Asian hippie and, you know, that kind of thing. It's from everybody's perspective, because if you don't teach the kids, they're not going to know. And they're shooting each other and they're committing suicide, and they took the art out of the schools, and it directly parallels the fact that they have no soul. And soul doesn't come from religion and cult. It comes from creativity.
Well,
so
thank you very much. Bye-bye. Thank you, caller. Anyway, it's time to get back to the music here on From the Cream to the Dregs. I am Uncle Dennis, and you are listening to Free Radio Santa Cruz 101.1. Up until 11 o'clock, we're going to have lots of music from the 60s and the 70s. 9 o'clock, we'll have a very short Earth First update. Unfortunately, I had car trouble this afternoon, and that kind of cut into my news gathering time. But we are going to play the music, and unfortunately, there were some people who were not in the park, and there wasn't anyone from Quicksilver Messenger Service, so here we go.